Everyone, it seems, from the ordinary Kuwaiti in the street to the sophisticated planners in the Pentagon, was taken by surprise by Saddam Hussein's strike at his tiny neighbor.
Brutal aggression launched last night against Kuwait illustrates my central thesis. The world remains a dangerous place with serious threats to important U.S. interests.
President Bush convened an emergency session of the Security Council. The invasion was condemned, sanctions levied, and Iraq's assets frozen the following day.
Iraq was to suffer economic isolation and intense hardship until it relented. It was perhaps the most complete blockade of a country seen in recent times.
The US State Department then sent a message to the countries of the Arab League.
The West has done its duty, but the Arab nations are doing nothing. If they do not take a firm stand on the Kuwaiti affair, they can be sure that in the future, they will no longer be able to count on America.
With the world united, hopes were high that the Security Council would now be an effective force for peace.
Mr. President, this is a far more important issue than simply the invasion of Kuwait. This is, in its own way, the first real test of this new world order that we're trying to put together.
But U.S. officials were pushing to get troops into the Gulf.
The administration turned to Prince Bandar, the Saudi ambassador to the United States.
Producing satellite photographs, they claimed that Iraqi troops were heading for the Saudi border and could attack within 48 hours. Permission was granted to base U.S. forces in Saudi Arabia. In fact, 40,000 troops were already on their way. Now warplanes were sent to join them.
I took this action to assist the Saudi Arabian government in the defense of its homeland.
Bush told Congress that 120,000 Iraqi troops had moved toward the Saudi border. DIA analysts, who saw Soviet satellite pictures, later commented,
"We didn't see anything to indicate an Iraqi force in Kuwait of even 20% the size the administration claimed."
U.S. intelligence reported that troops were in fact pulling back into southern Iraq.
Saddam might well have not intended to invade Saudi Arabia, but there must have been great temptation. It was a period of great vulnerability.
Unless you can get into Saudi Arabia, and for others, for that part of the world.
In mid-August, three Iraqi peace proposals were made. The third was welcomed in a statement by the Saudis, urging Kuwait to negotiate. 2 days later, the Saudis retracted it, as Air Force Chief of Staff Michael Dugan assured the press that
"We are positive for a joint attack."
Initially, the deployment of American and other forces after the invasion was simply defensive. The President was quite clear. General Norman Schwarzkopf ruled out any attempt to recover Kuwait by force.
In the meantime, resolutions flowed from the Security Council. A blockade was sanctioned. Dependent on imported food, Iraq now faced starvation. On September 4, James Baker said that U.S. goals now included the destruction of Iraq's military. On September 15, Dugan said targets would include
what is unique about Iraqi culture, that they put very high value on, that psychologically would make an impact.
If push came to shove, the cutting edge would be downtown Baghdad. If I want to hurt you, it would be at home, not out in the woods someplace.
Over 100,000 troops were now stationed in the Gulf, without congressional debate or authority, and the build-up continued.
In the biggest operation since World War II, Western equipment and troops have been landing at the Saudi port of Jubail, less than 200 miles from Kuwait.
Questions were asked.
Why should the West defend a country which has no democracy?
When he was gassing his own Kurdish people, when he was invading Iran, where were all the clever politicians then?
And answers given.
The president's stated reasons vary, from upholding international law to protecting oil fields, putting down a new hit,
I don't believe
improving regional security, and saving
America. The concern in the region is purely and simply oil. Our jobs, our way of life, our own freedom would all suffer if control of the world's great oil reserves fell into the hands
of
that one man, Saddam Hussein.
We made him what he is.
So it isn't energy secretary.
Mr. Elliott spelled it out.
It is
all about, oh, just wait. I watch and learn.